AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kamala Harris securing support from enough delegates to become the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee and raising more than $100 million in the first day and a half since Joe Biden announced he was stepping aside. Today, she will campaign in the swing state of Milwaukee. As for Donald Trump,
he did start to take on Vice President Kamala Harris over the Biden administration's handling of immigration and the border. He also said that she was doing terribly in the polls. He did noticeably misspell the word polls in that post. The former president gets back out on the campaign trail tomorrow with a rally in North Carolina.
ABC's Rachel Scott talking about the former president's Truth Social post. The director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, is now the target of an impeachment effort, as well as a subject of calls for resignation following the near assassination of former President Trump. A sheriff's deputy from Springfield, Illinois, charged with first-degree murder after shooting and killing a woman in her own home. He said she was threatening him with a pot of boiling water. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigns in Wisconsin today as the newly minted Democratic frontrunner for president. She's speaking in Milwaukee.
It is my intention to go out and earn this nomination and to win.
That's Harris speaking yesterday at the former Biden campaign headquarters in Delaware. Virtually all of Wisconsin's Democratic delegates are supporting her at their convention next month. And practically all of Wisconsin's top elected Democrats are endorsing Harris for president. That list includes Governor Evers and U.S. Representatives Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan. Other endorsements are coming from Senator Tammy Baldwin, Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Boys and Girls Club of the Northland has teamed up with Kohl's to set area kids up with the school supplies they need for the upcoming school year. According to a Fox 21 report, Kohl's has been teaming up with local Boys and Girls Clubs across the country since 2019 for the program, and this year the Boys and Girls Club of the Northland was selected to receive a $2,000 grant for back-to-school shopping. The retail store held an event on Monday for organizers to shop for the supplies the area kids will need. The Superior Hiking Trail Association is looking to use their annual membership drive to raise money for flood-related repairs. According to a Northern News Now report, a group of donors has committed to matching up to $14,000 during the two-week membership drive, which would be equivalent to about 310 new members. As of Friday, 81 new members had registered. Using the trails is free for anybody, but the group's membership program and donations help them fund constantly needed repairs. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cubs battled at Wrigley Field. Chicago went through six pitchers to keep the Brewer bats at bay. Milwaukee made some costly errors in the field and lost the game 3-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, our bullpen was a little taxed tonight, but Milner did a great job. And credit to the Cubs. They played in the clutch. They did what they had to do. And they pitched great. Six different guys, and they kept us at bay. We had opportunity and, you know, didn't get that big hit.
Game two of the three-game series is tonight. NFL, Jordan Love at practice, but will not suit up until he has a new contract. General Manager Brian Gutekunst talked about the 25-year-old quarterback at the team shareholders meeting.
Jordan Love. Jordan not only developed into one of the game's more exciting playmakers, his steady demeanor and leadership allowed our group to weather the storm and find our confidence as the season moved along. We're working very diligently to sign him to a long-term extension.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Isolated showers and thunderstorms are possible through about midday, then gradual clearing with a high of 71 today. It'll also become less humid by later this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, and comfortable with a high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. And never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we talk about repurposing churches. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And my time was running wild, a million dead end streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes. Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, your thoughts about the music again?
Well, the music, lyrics speak for themselves. Times are changing. It's a selection of various melodies that reflect how I felt last night about Can't Have a Beulie and about things going a new direction.
So, Sandy, let's talk about the VP options for the vice president and presidential nominee Kamala Harris. One thing that's certain, she's in a position and there is going to be another younger person that she is going to have running along with her. And you know, this certainly, Sandy, with all of the conversations about people didn't have a choice, it had to be the lesser of two evils. I didn't want Biden. He was too old. Trump was too old. And there were people, Generation Zs and Xers and Millennials. Hey, they're too old. I'm not voting. These people are too old. Here's an opportunity for Kamala to pick another younger person. Many of these gubernatorial guys and women are still young people.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that the selection, the choices that she has demonstrate the deep bench of capable people that there are out there in the next generation of Democrats. I mean, the people being looked at, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, a very important swing state, and a guy who's apparently very popular, Pete Buttigieg, who's extremely articulate. People have watched him perform over the past couple of years very competently. Andy Beshear, Democratic governor in Kentucky, normally red.
Of all places, right?
A very capable, well-liked guy. J.B. Pritzker, Illinois. Roy Cooper, Democratic governor of
North Carolina.
And he's won 6 statewide elections in North Carolina, so he's demonstrated his capacity. Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, obviously a very important state as well. And Mark Kelly's a guy with a great deal of charisma, married to Gabby Gifford, who we all know about. So, I mean, I think she's got some really good talent to look to. All of them are going to be of her generation. It's like you said, it's not going to be the lesser of two evils anymore. There's going to be some actual choices, and at least one choice, I think, won't look to people like they have to hold their nose while they vote.
You know, Sandy, it just, for all the world, you know, I have been saying that, you know, the Democrats, you know, were not looking to the younger people and giving them an opportunity and a chance. And even though you knew these people were on the periphery, Sandy, as long as Biden was the president, you didn't hear much about them. Certainly in the circles of where they are and other places, you heard about these people. You heard about Gavin Newsom, you know, and so that's who you would hear about. You didn't hear much about all of these other governors that were great things.
The Democratic bench is deeper than these. These are the people who I think are ready and willing to step forward as vice president. Gavin Newsom is the governor of a very big state and has a lot to be done there. And Gretchen Whitmer, who's been highly regarded, has expressed the fact that she's not interested. So, but it's a deep bench, you know, and I think that's, again, a breath of fresh air.
Well, and the difference is now we're going to hear from that deep bench more and more. Mike from Kenosha, good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Hey, real quick. Yeah, I just wanted to throw in there, you know, my uncle had Alzheimer's, and he was really the last one to figure it out. You know, we could all see it slowly begin to take over, and, you know, within a few months, you know, there was some subtle but distinct changes that we all saw. That's how this disease works. And, you know, I'm kind of a little bit more apathetic when it comes to people in illnesses. You know, I don't think, you know, Biden's at anywhere near, you know, debilitated. I think we're just seeing, you know, some of the signs, the early signs of this stuff. And it's the smart thing and the right thing to do. You know, things change in 6 months. So I don't think this was a conspiracy. I don't think this was a plan. I think what we are seeing here is a gentleman and a group of people are putting the country first, that are recognizing reality, and they're doing the right thing. Things change when it comes to Alzheimer's and mental capacity monthly. So I think, you know, again, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. This is the sign of a healthy republic. You know, when they can be open-minded and can pivot. And finally, again, we have a little over 100 days before the election. It's plenty of time to, you know, communicate the platform and to rally the troops, if you will. Yeah, matter of fact, I don't think we should have ongoing elections, perennial. So a 100-day term is just fine with me. So
hey Mike, thank you very much for the call.
Well, actually, I think the 100-day term is actually, I think what happens with these perpetual elections is that people turn off, okay? It's like when you're told to do something 100 times, on the 100th time you're told it, you're not listening anymore. And I think that elections that go on forever end up creating a bunch of people who are basically ignoring what's going on. And I think, therefore, that what's going to happen here is that 100 days is the time in which you can receive new information, become enthusiastic about that new information, analyze it, and just make decisions. And I think that it's going to be an advantage, quite frankly, because I think that there's going to be a willingness. The body politic has an attention span problem. And I think that 100 days is right at the outside of what that attention span can be. And I think that this is going to be an advantage for the Democratic Party.
So, Sandy, during this period of time, while the Democrats are going to be soaking up all of the news media and or most of it. And the Republicans and Donald Trump are going to be struggling to get coverage. He's going to become more and more unhinged. It's pretty safe to say that's going to be his response.
Well, that's, I think last week what I said was predicted was that because the Democratic Party with a new candidate would attract so much natural attention, they would get hundreds of millions of dollars of unpaid for free public relations based on the news need to cover these new candidates, their ideas, et cetera, that Donald Trump would have to do cartwheels, okay? And when Donald Trump does cartwheels to get attention, it's not pretty. And I don't mean physical cartwheels, but physically it wouldn't be pretty either. But no, it's going to be, I think the probability is that he will have to become more outrageous and more notorious.
All right. You conjured him up, Sandy. CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I wasn't able to hear the show for a while. I was in a meeting, but I have seen the coronation, probably for the most unqualified vice president and president, border czar, do nothing.
Well, before you go any further, what makes her unqualified?
What makes her unqualified? Because she's never done anything. She's put in place as the border czar and record numbers. So you gentlemen want to make this about personality. You don't want to make it about policy. You don't want to make it about qualifications, right?
No, actually quite the contrary. I think that what's going to happen is we're going to shift from this personality battle between two old men. And we're now going to have alternatives, and people are actually going to be listening to what policies and what platform it is that she brings forward. She was elected twice in statewide elections in the biggest state in the country. And, you know, I think we have yet to find out all of the qualifications. But I think that it's probably a very worrisome proposition for the Republicans, because I think that there will be a great deal of attention paid. And I think there will be a substantial opportunity for the Democratic Party and the candidate for the Democratic Party to present the policies. And then we can have a conversation about policies, and then we can have a conversation about competence. But, you know, I think it's premature to reach a judgment. And I'm interested in how it is that you could already have reached a conclusion that this is the least qualified person. You know, based on what, public service? Because, of course, Donald Trump was totally unqualified in that basis prior to his election as president.
Go ahead, CJ.
He kept us safe and prosperous for 4 years until COVID. And more people have died under Biden than Trump did, of course.
Biden is not the candidate.
I think we don't have to talk about accomplishments. Vice presidents don't accomplish much. What were Mike Pence's accomplishments? But I think what we're going to find out is what kind of a candidate she is and what kind of policies and platform are presented. And then we can have this conversation about what it is we think about it. But until then, I think it's probably premature.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. That town may change me, but I can't trace
time. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's entertaining. It's competitive. It's the Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward. Cheer on amateurs, semi-pro, and professionals at the Lumberjack Bowl on August 1st through the 3rd. Find a schedule at lumberjackworldchampionships.com. Also in Hayward, hop aboard a vintage trolley to learn about the city's colorful past and present. 4 tours available Friday, August 2nd. Visit the Sawyer County Historical Society for details and registration. Over to Amory, and Friday night, August 2nd, it's the Revved Up Dance Party happening at the Mixa, fun venue with great music starting at 6 p.m. And celebrate the 71st anniversary of Flamborama, described as Park Falls' longest hometown gathering. Event planners say it's going to be bigger and better than ever. Save the dates to join the fun of Flamborama, August 2nd through the 4th. Enjoy, and until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Bright, bright, sunshiny day. Bright, bright, sunshiny day. Bright, bright, sunshiny day. Bright, bright, sunshiny day.
I can see clearly now. Blind. It's gonna be a bright, bright sunshine day. It's gonna be a bright, bright sunshine day.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. Send you the music?
Yeah, I picked the music for how I felt. Bright, sunshiny day. I hadn't actually heard the Gladys Knight version of that before. I liked it when I heard it. So.
All right, let's go to John from Boaz. Good morning to you, John. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I want to congratulate you once again for your federal interview with the President of the United States of America. That's a very good accomplishment.
Well, thank you.
You know, yes, you know that. Everybody's telling you because you know that's the truth. See, the thing is with her is she is in the right spot at the right time, and I call that the fate, F-A-T-E. Her fate is, in other words, her stars are lining up if you're an astrologer. Look at what they did to Galileo. Look at what they're doing to Sandy. Look at what they're doing to Earl Ingram.
Hey, John. So you go from Galileo to Sandy and Earl Ingram.
Well,
that's pretty good.
He's talking about astrological science.
I know what he's talking about. That.
I'm a Virgo myself. How about you?
I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
But John, thank you very much for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Mark, Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, you're a Gemini with a Riviera, right? and Sandy, you and Earl deserve a 5-star, what would you call it? Citizens of Wisconsin and the country award for getting the truth out. But let me cut to the chase real fast. I think Kamala has hit the ground so fast that the Republicans' heads are spinning. They aren't even caught up, and she's raised over $1 million in a 48-hour period.
$100 million.
$100 million.
What is going to stop this
thing? Bill.
You're right. $100 million. But let me just finish. What is going to stop this lady? Absolutely nothing. I'm just telling you, as I'm telling my Republicans friends, there's a new sheriff in town, and she has no use for criminals.
Hey, Bill, always good stuff, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from the Prairie du Sac. Hey, good morning to you, Mark. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning. I think what we're going up against now, and this is a meme I've been working out in my head and discussing, that I think this is a reworking of the Confederate ideology in 2025 that we're up against now, with 2025 and Agenda 47. And one of the things I picked up from a book on the Confederate Nation is a writing by George Fitzhugh, who posited that the original revolution was wrongheaded, and it was okay in its aims, but it was wrongheaded in what spawned it. And he was maintaining that the Civil War, as I see Project 2025 and Agenda 47, is a reaction and to the Reformation that we saw in the original revolution, and they see that this gains we've made today, I think that this is a protest against the I see 2025 as a doctrine, a protest against the doctrines of natural liberty, human equality, and the social contract, as talked by some of the thinkers of the time, including Locke, who preceded that, but Adam Smith, Benjamin Franklin, Tom Paine, and he went on to say, and the rest of the infidel political economists who maintain the world is too much governed, because I think these guys think the world is too little governed in terms of human freedom. I think it's too much governed in terms of regulations that we have, but they really object to the fact that we are striving and getting closer and closer to a more perfect union, and getting closer to more human equality in our society rather than less is what I think what they want to have. I mean, I can fully see these guys, that say, well, slavery wasn't all that bad an idea. The Romans had it, the ancient Greeks had it, the Egyptians had it, and look how how successful they were.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to
Well, it's kind of deep stuff, but I do think that Project 2025 is an effort on the part of a bunch of sort of right-wing policy wonks to try and refight the battle that went on with the founding fathers over what the Constitution would have and how the government would run. And it's going all the way back to that. And that's why they talk about it being a war, because I think they perceive that they really want to, they criticize the left for not exalting the United States, but Project 2025 is an assault on what the United States is right now. And it's a demonstration of how unhappy they are with what it is that exists in our country and how our country operates. And they want to reestablish the rules of operation to put much more power in the hands of essentially landowners. That was the battle at the time of the founding fathers. That's how it was talked about, the difference between people of means and those without. Landowning was the definition of people with means. That fight is ongoing again, and it's being done in the cloakroom.
So let me do this. Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Everything old will be new again at this year's Democratic Convention. Delegates and not primary voters will choose the nominee for the first time in about 50 years. Mike Wagner teaches journalism and politics at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Primaries were not binding until the 1970s. And so we're really in a small way kind of reverting back to a convention where the party elites will be choosing the nominee.
That's Wagner speaking with Civic Media. Harris is campaigning in Milwaukee today. Lockdowns are lifted at two troubled Wisconsin state prisons. Green Bay and Waupun were locked down for several months. Four inmates died at Waupun during that time. Calls are growing to close the Green Bay prison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new pay transparency law will go on the books in Minnesota beginning on January 1st. According to a WDIO report, the pay transparency law is part of the omnibus labor and industry policy bill recently signed into law by Governor Tim Walz. Once in effect, Minnesota companies with at least 30 employees will be required to post pay and benefit information on all of their open job listings. The new rule is an effort to cut down on pay inequity, making the labor market fair for all residents and providing more clarity on wages. If you're heading to Minnesota, there are new child car seat laws that will begin on August 1st. Children under the age of 2 will need to be in a rear-facing car seat. Once they reach the age of 4 and are big enough, kids can ride in a front-facing booster seat. At the age of 9 and older, as long as they are big enough, children can ride without a car seat. Finally, children ages 13 and under must ride in the back seat whenever possible. Minnesota officials say the new law is based on American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Brendan Fraser likes Ike and will portray him in a new film called Pressure. The film tells the story of the D-Day invasion where troops storm the beaches at Normandy. The Oscar-winning actor portrays the Supreme Allied Commander Eisenhower. Variety reports that Ripley star Andrew Scott will portray Britain's chief meteorological officer, James Stagg. Stagg informed Eisenhower of weather conditions that were crucial to the Normandy invasion. The project is in the early stages of pre-production. The Simpsons have done it again. The New York Post reports that in an episode from the year 2000 called Bart to the Future, Lisa Simpson becomes the first female president of the United States. In the episode, she is wearing the exact same outfit that Kamala Harris wore during the 2021 inauguration, right down to the pearl necklace and earrings. Simpsons writer Al Jean posted a picture of Lisa next to Harris in their matching outfits. Let's see if life will imitate art. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Isolated showers and thunderstorms are possible through about midday, then gradual clearing with a high of 71 today. It'll also become less humid by later this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, and comfortable with a high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back in Green Bay on the home court, where I welcome host of the podcast Mob and Mafia News, Robert Dennis, and author Linda Cruz joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun.
sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea.
You know that brass, you know, coming in behind? Oh, man. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
This is Kamala singing this morning.
Welcome back to Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us if that's sending them. You know, you got a pretty wide range of music, my friend.
Well, you know, I throw a dart up on the wall. And...
All right. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I am just very curious with your conservative callers, if you can call them that, your mega callers, talking about what experiences Kamala have, what experience did Trump have? I mean, all he did was bankrupt businesses. I know he had no political experience at all. And look what he did. I mean, he never built a wall. He never lowered drug prices. He didn't decrease the deficit. He didn't drain the swamp. He didn't make COVID disappear. The only thing he did, other than he basically he hates who you hate or who they hate, and sadly, that is what everyone thinks you need. They think they need is just to hate. He has no platform. He has no experience. It's just all about Trump and his. Wow, words stop coming to me.
Well, let me plug some in for you. I think that Trump is an opportunist who will do whatever it takes to have aggrandized power. You know, so he appointed Supreme Court justices at the will of others. And that's about all that he accomplished. And then there was a tax reduction, which, of course, Republican Congresses always want to adopt. But other than that, the accomplishments or the platform or the ideological policies are very hard to discern.
Tom?
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Hi, good morning. Sandy, I totally agree with you about Project 2025. I've been reading about the era of the beginning of the country. I read about Hamilton and other presidents of that time. And there was a struggle, a big struggle. And that struggle continues where the haves want to have all the power. And they want the have-nots to remain socially
subservient.
Yeah. On the have.
Right.
Yes. And I think it's about time that this finally will come to rest. I've been reading the Federalist Papers, and I've been reading about what Hamilton had to say, and John Jay and Madison, and it is really clear cut that they were at one time. And although Madison changed over, were for the people. And they explained it thoroughly, why the Constitution was set up the way that it was set up. And I think that people have to come down and actually from wherever they are and actually reread the Constitution, reread the Federalist Papers, and then you will get an idea of who you need to vote for. I don't want to tell people who to vote for. That's their decision. But for the sake of our country, for the sake of our Constitution, for the sake of our rule of law, and for the sake of our freedom, we must actually vote blue. But like I say, people need to read the Constitution. They need to read the Federalist Papers again and really get an idea of what this country stands for.
Hey, Susan, thank you. Thank you very much, as always. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah, there were a lot of terrible things, you know, putting kids in cages, ballooning the national debt, stacking the judiciary with a bunch of people that are unqualified, according to the Bar Association. The one good thing that happened in 4 years under the Trump administration is I believe they gave leave, maternity leave or extended leave benefits to federal employees. And I don't even think that was Trump's idea. I think that was something Ivanka was pushing. Other than that, I really struggle to find any accomplishments in 4 years that were productive and actually helped the average person.
You know, Robert, and it's not just what he did with those first 4 years. It's what his plans are for the second 4 years that should terrify everybody, right?
Absolutely. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Yeah, there's one other. He had hospitals posting their prices. Although what happened was the rule was promulgated, but it was never enforced, so it didn't really happen. But there was a rule that would have been and could be helpful to consumers of medical care, which is that required the publication and posting of hospital prices. And these are the kind of things that actually the Biden administration has now been pushing.
But, you know, Sandy, you can talk about, again, those 4 years. We have a measuring stick of what Donald Trump has done.
Well, actually, I would, you know, one of the things that his backers would tout would be the tax decrease. I would attack the tax decrease as being a substantial problem that was created by the administration, by his administration. It increased the deficit substantially, and it created a tax process which, when those tax decreases expire for the middle class America in 2025, is going to create even more disparity in income. But the tax reduction itself enhanced and exacerbated the extreme divergence in wealth in our country.
All right, let's go back to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan?
I just want to disagree. I think that Trump is really qualified to be a carnival barker, frequent flyer on the Epstein jet, a tax evader, a reality show host, and the puppet behind Project 2025. So, CJ, I'm right there with you.
Hi, Brendan. Thank you very much for the call. Let me ask you, Sandy, again. At the root of all of it is what policies is Trump going to be, you know, talking about? What policies are he, you know, have you heard him talking about coming? If he's reelected, what have you heard him talk about?
Well, I think what's going to be most important is the policies that Kamala talks about. You can't force the other side to talk about policies if that's not what they want to do. But I think what the American public wants to think about is, what is it that you want to do in your administration? What is your administration going to accomplish that's going to affect me, Tom, Dick, and Mary, and how? And my hope is that this switch that's been turned by Joe Biden by selflessly getting out of the election process and introducing a new face and a new generation is going to cause a refocus, not on personalities, but on policy. And, you know, well, I don't think Donald Trump is capable of focusing on policy, but I do think that Kamala Harris will, and I think that will be the difference.
All right, let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
All right. Thanks, Earl. And Sandy, I got to agree with Sandy. A couple of minutes ago, he was talking about the national debt under Trump. And when you think about it in terms of the climate change has been known about since, well, it's been discussed since the 1970s. And I guess it was 1962 when Rachel Carson wrote her book, Silent Spring. So the world, the science world has known that we're going to really need to spend money a whole different way. And the fact that Donald Trump and his polluter buddies don't want us, they don't want to admit that they caused the problem. So they can't afford to have research. They can't afford to have cleanup. because by having cleanup, they're admitting that there was a problem. By discussing how the spill got there, it gets into lawsuits. And so their purpose has been to deny climate change based upon they don't want to admit that they were the poisoners. And so the idea of cost overruns in the budget, it's based upon the idea that they always put together a crap budget, or currently they don't even put together a budget at all. And they still call themselves conservatives, but they, you know, this Congress under, whether it was under McCarthy or now under, who's the
Johnson.
Current Mike Johnson. Yeah, I mean, those guys, they still haven't put together a budget. They get like $10,000 a month as in salary, and they don't do their job. You know, if they had worked for McDonald's and didn't do their job, they would have been fired in a week. And the idea that these guys, their purpose in the Constitution is to build a budget, and they've come up with every excuse why they can't do a budget, and then they go into emergency spending because of it.
Hey, David, well said. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, Project 2025 on global warming is a particularly fascinating object for study, because what is said repeatedly in the book is, or the compendium, is that what ought to happen, according to the writers of it, is that we ought to leave the problems created by global warming to future generations and the ingenuity and the marketplace of future generations. Basically, what they're saying is we need to prosper today at the expense of tomorrow. We need to kick this problem to our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, which is exactly the opposite of stewardship, right? I think stewardship, the notion is we're going to leave this place better for our children and grandchildren. We're not going to kick the problems to them and let their ingenuity, bless their hearts, solve the problem. And so it's a particularly cynical portion of the strategy that's described. And in the process of also the rest of that strategy associated with global warming is to eliminate all government analysis, study, scientific study, because I guess it's a bit like the more you test, the more COVID you find. The more you analyze and study scientifically this question of global warming, the more you might find that human conduct is playing a role that could possibly be mitigated.
You know, Sandy, it is without question Project 2025 and the fact that Donald Trump has been working diligently to separate himself from it. He really can't separate himself from it. And because his plans are to govern according to it.
Yes. I mean, it's only politically expedient to try and put distance between him and that now. But after he was elected, I can assure you, first of all, it reads, many parts of it read like he wrote it. Getting rid of the 10-year term for the FBI director and making him serve at the pleasure of the president. You don't think Donald Trump would like to do that? Making sure that the Justice Department can bring no prosecutions without the White House favor. Do you think Donald Trump wants to control the Department of Justice? He's already stated that he does. All sorts of parts of it are exactly what Donald Trump has talked about, wished for, and most of it is written by people who were in the Trump administration.
Well, you know, Sandy, the education portion of it is kind of what I want to discuss before we get out of here. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know?
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome to what is the last few minutes of the Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host, Sandy Williams. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You want to talk about somebody who was, you know, Sandy, kind of forced out.
Yeah. This is what getting forced out looks like. Apparently, Ms. Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, resigned today, but her resignation was called for by both Raskin,
Democrat
and Republican. And, you know, I guess clearly there was an accountability problem and a problem with respect to the operation of the Secret Service at Trump's rally. And I think this is probably the right thing to happen. But this is what getting forced out looks like. It's not the Joe Biden decision type process.
Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what?
Good morning to you, Earl. Last night I never watched a station, but I was watching MSNBC because they were going to do a Project 25 to let people know about it. But in the midst of Biden stepping down and Harris stepping in, they had a roundtable discussion. And according to them, they have heard that the Trump administration is having buyer's remorse about J.D. Vance. And the only reason he went with J.D. Vance is he took words of wisdom from Tucker Carlson and Don Jr. Now, That's like me going into a bar.
It's an oxymoron, it sounds like to me, yeah.
It's like me going into a bar, and there's this drunk at the end of the bar, starts talking politics with me. That because of, you probably know this, J.D. Dance's stance on abortion is no exception for rape or incest. And if you're a woman living in a domestic abuse household, you should stick it out. So they're going to have a real problem, hopefully, with women, especially with Vance on the ticket.
Well, you know, thank you very much for the call, Bob. You know, he is a wrecking ball, right? I mean, he doesn't have any tact. Right.
J.D. Vance, I think he's undoubtedly an intelligent guy, but he was clearly selected because he was viewed as sort of a more intelligent and articulate mini-me of Donald Trump. He was willing to assume that role, and that was the role he's going to play, which is sort of the attack machine. If to the extent that Donald Trump isn't an attack machine, J.D. Vance was going to be a more articulate version of that. And he also, however, has this baggage. You know, he's stated his positions. Some of them involved his how despicable he thought Donald Trump was in the past, but as well his positions with respect to women's health. And that's going to be a problem.
You know, Sandy, we can or they can constantly talk about the side of this equation with Kamala and Democrats. But, you know, even with Donald Trump at the height of his popularity with a certain segment of the population, you're still talking 40%, 45%.
No, I mean, Donald Trump does, and J.D. Vance articulated in his book, a very good book, Hillbilly Elegy, very well articulated the problem of the disaffected middle-class, blue-collar workers in America. And you know, the Democratic Party needs to pay attention to that. I think Kamala Harris will. I think, quite frankly, that the policies of the Democratic Party, the Biden administration—
They were addressing that.
Were addressing that. I don't think there were any policies of the Trump administration that addressed it, other than giving lip service to it and fanning the flames of it from a cultural war standpoint. So, you know, the Trump administration understands the problem, and J.D. Vance understands this undercurrent that is being experienced by, in particular, white middle-class, blue-collar America. But they didn't respond to it with helpful policies. They responded to it with arguments and polemics that fanned the flames of anger. And I think it's the Democratic Party that these people will start listening to about policy.
So, Sandy, how do they possibly, with the independents and that 15%, 20% who has been undecided, what can the Republicans do differently now to try to gain, you know, leverage over those independents?
Well, what I can hope for is that both parties would start addressing the needs of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And if the Republican Party wants to do that, more power to them. Because what I'm looking for is outcomes. I'm looking for an economy and an architecture to the economy and an architecture to our government's programs that creates the safety net that is necessary for Tom, Dick, and Mary so that they can live and be happy as the workers in Germany, Finland, Sweden, all across the world, Japan, all across the world are. We need to start creating that environment. And if the Republicans want to get on board, more power to them. I don't predict that. I don't predict that.
All right. That's the one and only Sandy Williams. So thank everybody who made the show go. We'll be back on. I'll be back on tomorrow. I'm going to listen to the presidential nominee this afternoon. I'll let you guys know how it went on tomorrow. Up next, Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bott. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Your phone calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.